sit in the back, and I was an absolute disaster and an absolute mess. But Pastor would call me at college, and that's the truth, Pastor. I don't know if you remember that, but you'd call me at Liberty University just to tell me. He knew I was a mess, and Trish and I dated in high school. But she looked at me and said, if you're gonna choose to live like that and you're not gonna sell out for God, we can't date. Right. How about that? Amen. And I praise the Lord she did. Listen, I should get more than three amens, and you young ladies, teenage young ladies, should be listening to that. But she said, if you're not gonna do right, she said, I'm not gonna marry a guy that bleaches his hair blonde and pierces his ears and everything else. And I want you to know, all these years later, she took a stand. Pastor, there's a good chance that either we wouldn't be in church or we would be in some contemporary mess today. And I'd be part of the praise and worship, maybe like dance team or something like that, you know? Yeah. Could you imagine? I'm in like, you know, like some of those, what are those workout pants called the ladies wear? You know, it's one of those. Yeah. That's right. Hey, you know what, Pastor? If this church thing don't work out, maybe me and you could be in an interpretive dance team or something, you know? But wearing some skinny jeans or something else today, and I praise the Lord she took a stand. But I do want you to know that when I preached on Gideon the other night, is that Pastor Ryman is a great influence on us, is today, but he is one of me and Miss Trisha's Gideons, and I really mean that. Shaw Henson's another one, but there were some that really poured into Trish and I and took time for us, and I appreciate those people. This is our heritage. I know now we're down in the South, and we're down there, and it's a little bit of a different flavor, but I love getting up here with you guys, and we love this place. I love this meeting. I want you to know that. And I know pastors have to make decisions, and Michael Shane and everybody that's involved here, Bud as we know her. I'm sorry, I don't know if anybody else knows that, but Sister April as you guys know her. It goes way back. It's a drink she used to drink. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking, all right? But Aunt Bud, as my kids, I'm going to say my friends, they are my friends, but my kids know her, but it is, I know they have to make decisions, and we'll see what God has for next year, but we love this meeting. And I called April even, Pastor, I called her 4 or 5 months ago and said, I don't want to schedule anything on this weekend, because whether I was preaching or not, we were coming, and we love this meeting. I mean, and I want my kids to be around this, because it was youth rallies like this in this area that really grounded us in the Lord. Faith Baptist, I love you. And I hope you understand that we're down in North Carolina. We're not great. I wish we were better for God, but we are trying to do something for God down there. And I want you to know, every church that calls and asks us to come, and any place that we're at, down at New Manor or anywhere else, I want you to understand is that we are part of the fruit of your pastor and your church. And I know now you're saying, oh, that guy is, yes, unfortunately, yes, I am. I'm tied to you guys. I'm sorry if I'm an embarrassment. But I do want you to know this is we are trying to live for God. We're trying to raise our children for the Lord. And that is fruit that remaineth at this point. We could quit tomorrow, but I don't plan on it. I don't want to. And y'all pray for us. But we are fruit that remaineth 20 years later down the road. And so we love you guys. I really, really mean that. So thank you. Where's Alex? Is Alex in here right now? Or is he off doing something? He brought me a biscuit this morning. It had eggs, 2 pieces of sausage, cheese, and you ready for this? Strawberry jelly on it. And I started eating that thing. Do y'all do that all the time? Well, I was like, man, there's something sweet. I love that salty, sweet combination, you know. It was unbelievable from the Kenton store down here. So I wanted to thank him, but he's obviously off chasing bus kids somewhere. So we appreciate those people. Here we go. Matthew chapter 26. I won't be long. Looking forward to hearing Brother Mike Easter preach. I've not, as far as I remember, short of him and I preaching and popcorn preaching years ago or something, Brother Mike, I've not heard him preach, and I'm looking forward to it. So I'll preach this morning, and then I'll look forward to sitting down and hearing him. So if you'll stay focused, listen to me very clearly on this. Youth rally's not over. Amen. Everybody got me on that? So I understand. I'll be honest with you. At our youth rally every single year, our Sunday service for our church is all the rest of the churches have kind of gone home. God makes it sweet for us. And I appreciate it. I don't just want to presume on that. I've been praying about that this morning. But I really, really believe God has something for us this morning. You got me? Amen. Some of you are amen to me. You're awake. I want you awake. I want you focused this morning. You are physically fatigued, and I know that. I know how that is. We just did our youth. you throughout a couple weeks ago. Some of you will go home today, and I mean, have to drag yourself out of the car and into the bed just to get that nap this afternoon because you are tired. But I do believe this, is that God has something for us this morning. Amen? Amen. So I want you to stay awake and I want you to stay focused. Fight those eyes if you have to, okay? But let's stay focused and see what God has. I wanted to preach something a little bit different this morning, but I felt like God kept drawing me back to this. And so because of that, we're going to stick here. I wanted to be an encouragement. This will be a help. It'll be an encouragement, but it's a little bit of a come after you, make you think a little bit. So you stay with me. I want to have a good spirit about it as well. Matthew chapter 16, let's look at three verses here. Look at verse 14. It says, one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot. I said disciples, and some of you thought, what version is he reading? All right, threw you off there. You're awake now. You guys are about to crucify me, drag me out the back here. So then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will ye give me? Look at the selfishness here. Now focus on these words. A lot of times we know the story so much it becomes familiar to us. We miss the wording. The wording's critical because I want you to get Judas's spirit here. What will you give me? What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. He's talking about selling out Jesus. And what he's saying is, I'm very close. I have a connection with the man that you don't like. Now, Jesus is in full control. Judas didn't believe. Well, obviously, he was one of the devils here. And we understand that. But what Judas here, his connection with Jesus, they liked him. And they liked that he was coming to him. And they saw his selfishness. Listen to me. Can I say this? The world knows whether or not you're a real Christian. Let me say that again. The world knows whether or not you're a real Christian. The way you react to things, the way you act around them, what you talk about, the world knows whether you're not real, man. Listen, let me say this. Be real. I mean, listen, if you're going to tell people you go to Faith Baptist Church, be real. And Judas was not a real, he hung out with the Christians. I pray in here, and I don't mean to be hateful, but I hope there's no one in here that hangs out with the Christians. I mean, you can amen with the best of them. Look here, you can dig way into Judas. This was a man that when there was healing going on, he was around it. This is a man when miracles were going on, they associated him with it. When church, when the doors open, you're here, people are associating you with this place. Be real. Listen to me, be a real Christian. But you put those big butts behind you. There I go again. I'm sorry, brother. All right? I got to preach something here. This is what you get, pastor, for having a youth pastor. And that's just the way we are. I mean, just the way we are. Middle of verse 15. And they coveted, watch this now, with him for 30 pieces of silver. From that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Let's pray. Lord, I love you and I praise you this morning. Thank you again for allowing me to be back here, Lord, at Faith Baptist Church. I love this place. I really do. And I pray that, God, you'd use me now to help this place and encourage, Father God, and to, God, this is not just a message for that one that's away from you. I hope to challenge that one. But, God, those of us, Lord, that are wanting and desiring at this point, God, may we never find our price. God, may we never find our price. God, of what it cost for us to sell out Jesus, Lord. And I pray that you'll use me this morning, Lord, to be a help and be an encouragement. God, I don't say this loosely, but I love this place. And they have been such a help to my wife and I. And I pray now that, God, you'd fill me with the power that you could only give me. God, that I could be a blessing back and thank them, Lord. May you use my hands, my feet, God, my mouth now, God, to be the messenger of what you would have me to say to them. God, and we pray one more time. You've done it Thursday. You've done it Friday, God. You did it all day yesterday. God, give us church again this morning, God. I pray you do something great in this place. I love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Pastor. When it comes down to it, if you do the math on 30 pieces of silver, each piece of silver is worth about $20. That's it. So if you do the math there, you're at about $600. And to me, to sell out someone's life, $600 just don't sound like a lot of money. But you know what? For those Christians that I know that I'm not better than, listen to me, I haven't figured something out that they haven't figured out. I'm not in a different position because of self-help books. I didn't read anything by some out there televangelist or something I got a hold of. But today, listen to me, you and I are in church. Praise the Lord for that. Because we all know that the devil fights us. Some of you this morning could have just used the excuse that, man, I've been in a lot of church this week, so it's all right if I miss this morning. Praise God, you're back, and that's awesome. But I do know this much, that there's a real devil out there, and he is trying to do the best that he can to figure out just what our price is. Just what it's going to take for you to quit on God. For you to sell out your testimony, to sell out, let me say it this way, like Jesus did, to sell out Jesus. And can I say this? When I tell you that it cost 600 pieces of silver for those Pharisees to get their hands on Jesus, Jesus being in full control, but Judas thinking this was about, to me, for a man's life, that just doesn't seem like a whole lot. But can I say this? Those that are not here this morning, I also feel like they sold out church based on good times on Friday nights and friends and other things. But can I say this? If we're not careful, we'll find out what our price is. What's yours? Teenagers, what's your price? Listen to me. If you're under the age of 18 years old, you better learn that it takes a personal relationship to walk with God. Because there is something called adulthood that is coming, and that transitional period there, it is a bumpy road many times. And I'm telling you, as I watch them, we've got a, the Lord's blessed our church. And Brother Tony, I was in Virginia Beach on a business trip a couple years ago, and he called me and he said, man, listen, he said, but God's just been working on my heart. I feel like God's doing so much in the youth group, but then our teenagers get to be about 18 years old, and it's gone from youth choir trips, it's going all the time to revivals and going around wherever he's preaching, and we're in service after service. They hit 18 years old, and our church has nothing for them. And he said, we have to develop a young adults class, a young adults group that we can focus on. Miss Alicia and Miss Olivia are here. They've been here. They drove up this week to be part of the meeting, and they're now part of Brother Steve Kidd's class. And man, I'm telling you, the last couple of years, we've really focused on them. And let me tell you what. We've watched, number one, the necessity for that. Someone to focus on them and follow up with them and help them. Brother Steve takes them to meetings and takes them all over the place. And it's really, God's building that young adult ministry. And can I say this? Because I've watched it 18 years old, the devil is trying to attack our young adults and say, look, you've been under that umbrella. You've had someone dragging you along. But teenagers, it is good for your parents to begin letting that relationship that they have just bathed you in for all these years. You have to make it your own. And as you hit 18 years old, your parents have to start taking their hands off. There's a balance there. If you go home and say, Mom and Dad, you got to take your hands off me. No way. We'll punch you in the face. Are you recording this? Is this live streamed or anything else? Good. I'm going to lose all my kids. It's going to be wonderful. But let me say this, is listen to me. You've got to learn to fly on your own. It's the way that it is. But the devil is watching you. The devil is watching every bit. Him and his principalities are watching your weaknesses. Boy, we hammered social media. Can I hammer it one more time this morning? Are we all right? We all right? He's watching your tendencies on social media. He's like an investigator, and he's watching how you act and how your every reaction to sin around you, and how young ladies, you're drawn to this kind of young man, and young man, how you're drawn to this kind of young lady. And the devil is watching, and he's going to do everything he can to find your price. Adults, it's you and I as well. I'm almost 40 years old. I haven't attained. Do we understand? If you're 20, if you're 25, if you're 30, the devil doesn't give up once you hit adulthood. He is coming after us. As a matter of fact, you and I become bigger trophies. Listen to me carefully. We become bigger trophies. Because if the devil can get us, he gets our marriage. If he gets our marriage, he gets our kids. If he gets our home, he gets our ministries. If he does all of that, he's got one thing. It's called your testimony. What's your price to sell out your testimony? Let me give you a couple of things by way of introduction. Again, I'm going to try to be quick. Get Brother Mike up here. I see the time already. First of all, I'll tell you what I've seen with people is this. These are my own thoughts a little bit this morning. But I think, first of all, things I see with people that sell out is just misunderstandings. How about this? I thought it would be different. If I left my marriage, I just thought it would be different. My husband is this, my wife is that. So I walked out, and now guess what? You know what I see with those people that leave their spouses? It seems like they always try to get back what they lost. Listen to me. They always try to get back what they had in that previous spouse. Are they going to confess that? Are they going to come to us and say, I was wrong. I wish I could get this back. That's not it. But you know what you start seeing them? They start dating and dating and dating and dating. You know why? Because they can't find what they lost. And when it comes down to it, they sold out their relationship with Jesus for about nothing. For good times and misunderstandings. And when it comes down to it, they say this, I thought it would be different. That is a miscommunication on your part to your brain. You have to understand that. Is listen to me. If you think it's going to be different, it will not be. When Judas was said and done with everything, those 30 pieces of silver sat back on the floor worth nothing to him, and he went and hung himself. You've got to understand the picture of sin that is given to you, that draw to it, that glitz, that glamour that you think, finally I'll be happy. You are wrong. You'll hold your $600 in your hand and you'll realize, I have nothing. Wish I could get back what I had. Let me ask you something this morning. What's your price? Misunderstandings. This thought, I just thought it would be different. You're wrong. You have got to learn to say, I am wrong. And if I leave what I've got right now, I tell you, I'll be as miserable as I can. And you know what Judas wished he could have done? He wished he could have gone back and changed what he did. I could not imagine, if this morning you think I'm attacking you because you have mistakes in your past, you are wrong. I have plenty in my past. Do you understand me? But I tell you this much. I never ever want to know the sting of walking out on my wife and my children and just wishing I could get back what I used to have. We just had a terrible situation in our town 2 weeks ago. And I don't need to know the details, and Olivia and Alicia and my children, I'm not being tactful on these things. But I know a man that woke up 6 o'clock in the morning staring down the end of a gun. He got shot. The woman he's laying in bed with got shot. Both of them killed. That man walked outside and blew his head off. Our little town, McDowell County, middle of nowhere. Just a very twisted situation. Before the man that shot him, I'm not going to get into the details of the whole situation. Before the man shot him, he went outside, called the police, told him something happened at the house, and then blew his brains out. And that man's, listen to me, that man that was laying in that bed with that other woman, his kids had to be flown in from the West Coast. And I just started thinking, man, I don't know what went wrong. And if you think I'm being judgmental this morning, I'm not trying to be. I have no idea what that man went through with his past marriage. But I know this much. He wasn't married. He was in a situation he shouldn't have been in. And his kids lived 2,500 miles away. And that's how his life ended. Can I tell you what? I don't want my life to end in ruins because I'm chasing desires for sinful things that when it comes down to it, what I have now is best.
Amen.
What's your price? Yeah. Misunderstandings. How about this? Miscommunications. The devil looks at Eve and says, then you'll know like God. You surely won't die. Yeah. Can I tell you what? That was miscommunications. Now, the devil may not crawl up to you, to your feet as in the form of a snake, but can I tell you this much? There's plenty of snakes. I'm trying to have a good spirit this morning. But there's plenty of snakes around us that'll tell us, sitting around that workplace, go out with us Friday night. You'll be fine. You'll be all right. He'll creep up in all kinds of forms. He didn't think he'd show up as a snake that day. And let me tell you what. He'll slither up in any way that he can into our lives and start telling us, you'll be more happy this way. You'll be more happy that way. That is miscommunications. Bury your nose in the Word of God. Trust that. You'll be fine. But let me tell you what, that snake, that devil may just be telling you something, and if you buy into it, you think you'll be happy, and we will not. Can I tell you what's going on there? Looking for your price. Looking for your price. Not only misunderstandings and miscommunications. I've seen that with people many times. But this one, and this one's real, and we all go through this. It's just miserable circumstances. Some of you right now are going through some things that you are on the edge of, man, I'm so miserable. I'm about to sell out on God. This whole God thing ain't worked out for me. And can I tell you this much? You may be going through some miserable circumstances today, and I'm not here to take away from that. Some of those, I thought this would be different. I thought this would go better. And can I tell you what? Don't. Let me just encourage you today. Listen to me today. Let me just encourage you and say, no matter what your situation it is better to stick with God. Stay with the Lord. Stay with this church. Stay with your pastor. Stay with those around you that are trying to help you. And you may be in miserable circumstances right now, but listen to me. Don't sell out. Miserable. If I say that word miserable and it doesn't hit you right now, there may be someone sitting next to you and they are on the verge of quitting on God because there are things in their life that they've tried to change. It will not change. And I want to tell you this morning, whatever you are going through, don't fall into the misunderstandings. Don't fall into the miscommunication. You'll be happier if, no matter what your miserable circumstance is, can I say this? Staying with God is the best choice. Stay with God. What's your price? Listen to me this morning, church. What's your price? The devil is looking. The devil's studying you. The devil's trying to figure it out. What's your price? It was a measly $600 for Judas. What's yours? Let me encourage you this morning on a couple of things. I'm telling you, we may look down on Judas, but I don't know about you, but I feel a battle not to sell out on God every day. That's the truth. Let me give you a couple of things. If you don't want to sell out, let me say this. Stick with the necessary things. Listen to me this morning. It's all right. These people are getting help. You focus. I don't want you to get distracted. Listen to me this morning. Stick with the necessary things. Can I say this, number one? I don't know what your spirit is. One thing about old-time religion, Pastor, can I tell you what we need to change in? Our attitudes. And when I say attitudes, I'm talking about me with you and you with me. We are so attackful. I mean, listen to me. We can't even get up and street preach without slitting somebody's throat. Just a negative spirit all the time. Where did that come from? Jesus and his disciples didn't just sit around and tear each other up. I have killed the spirit in here. I've got hung up on a stump, Pastor. I'm sorry. If I need to sit down, you just tell me. I'm the youth pastor. I don't know a whole lot, okay? I don't even know if what I'm preaching right now is doctrinally sound, okay? So just ignore it. All right. But can I say this right now is what no matter what you believe, this is necessary. When I say this is necessary, our friendship with one another is necessary. Listen to me. We need each other. I don't need to go home ticked off all the time because Sister So-and-so stole my crock pot, and all I was trying to do is try to help out because Pastor says nobody helps out with the luncheons at the church. It happens all the time. We hate each other. Listen to me this morning. We need each other. This is necessary. The Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. And what's going on is we're spiritually weak and we have no one we can talk to. My wife and I were doing a marriage conference last week and we started talking about some stuff in the marriage, I'm trying to be careful because there's teenagers in here, all right? But we did a session on some things between a husband and a wife. There you go. Enough said. Moving on. But can I say this? We had spouse after spouse after spouse after spouse after spouse after spouse that comes to us and says, we don't feel like we can talk to anybody about this stuff. And I looked at Ms. Trisha and I just thought, why would we not feel like we couldn't talk to people about stuff that we need help with? This is God's house. We should turn to one another and say, I just need to talk to somebody. I need some help because this is necessary. There, you ready for this? Christianity 101. There should be a good spirit in our church. Yes. Hey, how are you? Youth pastor, New Man About Church. Good to meet you. Can I tell you what? We should text each other. What did Brother Kenny say last night? 11 hours and 20-some minutes, and we're just killing social media and everything else. Can I tell you what? Why don't we just text each other and say, how you doing? When I talk about people selling out because of miserable circumstances, can I tell you what? The people that are sitting next to you right now with a smile on their face, there's some wife that feels like she can talk to nobody because she's about to walk out on her marriage because she's tired of it, and she's sitting in this room right now. And let me tell you what. I thought this was you. I don't even know why I'm preaching this message, all right? But can I say this? Is listen to me. Is we should be here for one another. This is necessary. We are necessary for one another. Do you understand that? Jesus looked at the 70 and said, I'm sending you in 70 different directions. That ain't how it happened. What did he do? Two by two. There was a reason for that. And that was because of this. We need each other. I need you. And I sure hope you feel like you need me. Because, man, listen to me. If we ain't got each other, we got nothing. Can I tell you this much? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Can I tell you why that is? Because God said this. We're going to need each other. We're going to need some help. Shouldn't just be we just sit around and we do this thing called church. It should be friends. It should be family. We should be invested in one another's lives. Can I tell you what? We are not God. We do not need to be judging everybody else around us. I'm serious about that. And we don't need to be running our mouths. We need each other. I guess I could stay right there for all morning, but I won't. Don't just sell out the necessary things. Don't sell out the necessary things because we need each other. Fellowship with believers is necessary. Can I say this much as well? Fellowship with God is necessary. And it needs to go well beyond just this place. Do you know if you're not reading your Bible, you are nothing but a spiritual baby? Look here, I just name calling. I mean, that's what the Bible says. You can't handle the meat of the Word of God. You have to have, you know what a baby does? You bring them in and they're so cute and cuddly and they go potty on themselves. It was a potty we used? Was that the word we used, potty? Okay. They go potty on themselves. Somebody's got to clean up their little mess. And then when they're hungry, they just wah, wah, cry. And somebody comes along. I'm trying to be careful because if the way I present this may go wrong and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But listen to me. They always got to come to pastor and have the bottle put in their mouth. Can I tell you this much? Time out. You need to go to your pastor, by the way. If you think I'm building walls around him, he would sit me down if I was unnecessary here. You listen to me carefully, but here's what I am talking about. He shouldn't always be having to take the bottle and shove it in your mouth. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So please don't quit on church. Would you come back to church on Sunday? Can I tell you what? If you have your nose in the Word of God and in that King James Bible, you're getting into the meat. And you'll come to this church. And that man, listen to me, that man will deliver more of that meat to you and more of that meat. But can I tell you what a baby Christian does? Baby Christian comes in here and sits down and he takes the bottle. And you want to know what that baby bottle is? You're not getting a lot out of his preaching. But I'll tell you this much. When he gets on that country music, that ticks me off because you on the bottle. When he starts talking about those movies I shouldn't be watching, boy, I tell you what, I don't like that. And that's all you get. You hear the no, 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 no. No, 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 no. That's all you're getting from God because you're a baby. You should be walking in here and it's, you know what? Hey, pastor, you know why they don't come on Sunday night? You know why they don't come on Wednesday night? Because you're giving them meat and that chokes them. Boy, maybe not y'all, but I mean people, all right? I might as well ruin it. I'm never coming back. I've said so much stupidity today.
No, you're good.
But let me say, listen to me. Because you can't handle the meat. And the bottle is just, you need to quit doing this and you need to quit doing that. And then suddenly, you know why? You ain't showing up on a regular basis. It's because of this. Because you, man, you're choking on that meat. But can I tell you what? There is a relationship that Jesus Christ wants to have with you outside of the four walls of this sanctuary. We are necessary for one another. Out of Brother Tony, there is me and there's nine other assistant pastors at New Manna. And can I say this much? I feel the devil try to get around that staff table on Sunday night because he wants to break up the unity. I do. Yep. Trying to come between our families, Pastor. Yep. He hates us. Amen. He wants to break us up. And listen to me. That's because he doesn't want the unity amongst friends and staff members. And he doesn't want the unity between you and Jesus, who loves you so much. Your personal walk with God is critical. Let me tell you what, God may bring revival through this youth rally in your personal life because you begin to pick up the Word of God and you just start to read it. I probably ask this question every single time I preach. How's your Bible reading? How's your Bible reading? And if right now you're thinking, man, my Bible reading's about nothing, then can I tell you this much? You may be closer to your price than you think. You may be closer to your price than you think. Let me say this. I'm finished. I'll do my last point very quickly. And thank you, Pastor. I know you've given me liberty. I understand that. Don't sell out the necessary things. It's a big point, but I'll just give it to you briefly. Amen. Don't sell out the better things, man. Listen, this walk with Christ is better than anything this world can give us. I mean, yoking up with you guys and just, man, doing this thing we call ministry and getting to do something for God, it is better than anything that's out in the world. It's better than sleeping in on a Sunday morning. It is. It's better than hooking up the boat at 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning, man, and heading out to the local lake, heading out to the beach, man. It is better. This is better than what's going on outside of these walls. Now, we're not better. Hey, listen to me. We're not better than them. Anybody that's laying on a beach right now, out on the boat, enjoying this warm weather, I want you to know something. We're not better, but let me say this. This is better. Let me say this. Two things about it being better. The benefits of serving God are far better. Watching my little boy preach. I know he's almost 17 years old in 2 days, but watching my little boy, my oldest son, get up at youth rally in front of hundreds of people and tell them about God is better. Hey, it was my son that God used yesterday to encourage you not to quit in the storm. This is far better than being out there. Hey, you may not love it as much as I do, but I know this much. The benefits to serving God are better than finding my price. Amen. Stay in. You got a little kid right now downstairs in one of those Sunday school classes. Stay in. Them learning about David and Goliath. Them learning about the Ten Commandments. Them learning about that little baby in the manger. Far better than waking up and relaxing on a Sunday morning. Don't find your price. Amen. The benefits are better, Brother David. Better. And I like the benefits, man. A marriage grounded in God. All of, hey, look here. It ain't just your marriage going through it. The devil attacks all of our marriages. It ain't just your teenager that's being rebellious. Every one of our teenagers has to be rebellious. I'm sorry, they do not. They have to make their choice. Wow, that was the same. That was youth rally fatigue, all right? All my kids are being rebellious, aren't yours? Can I give them one more thing quick, Pastor? Am I doing all right? Am I doing okay? Can I just give you, I might have said this before. I preach at this church a number of times every year, and I love you guys. So if I'm preaching anything I preached before, I'm sorry, but I'm going to give it to you, all right? Can I? That's true. Don't you get away from that. From Genesis to Revelations, God is very repetitive, by the way. I've learned that. But can I say this? Can I tell you where God gave me some help? And I realize my teenage boys are sitting in here right now. But boy, years ago, I used to worry about my family and worry about my sons because it breaks my heart to think that Michael, Trace, and Caleb, Nick, Kaz, Natalia, or Kinley would ever go prodigal in our home. But can I say this? Salvation is a choice. Salvation isn't based on daddy's desires. They're not saved because I go to church. They have to make a choice. Not only is salvation a choice, but can I tell you what else is a choice? whether or not they're going to give God their lives. Do you know what God showed me in the Word? You take Genesis. Pastor, you go through just the very four or five books of the Bible, the founding fathers of Christianity, where, listen to me, they believed unto righteousness and they didn't even have a Bible. They didn't even have the story of Jesus. They'd look at the stars and say, God, you're out there somewhere. Talk to me. And they got to know a real God. And can I tell you what? Listen to me carefully, Mom and Dad. Their homes were a wreck. Some of you, listen to me carefully. Their homes were a wreck. Abraham, his home was a mess. Don't miss me. I know that was a man of God. His home was a mess. I can't have kids. God made promises to you. Have it with my handmaid. God had made a promise. Abraham gives into that. Well, all right, I guess I have another girlfriend on the side over here. Ishmael comes along. Do you know why we have a mess in the Middle East today? That's Ishmael. You follow me today? You know where that came from? Abraham's home. What mess is your home in? You need me to go on? Moses had problems. David had problems. Do I need to keep going? You look at those Old Testament homes that God used to set the foundations of the Bible. Let me tell you what, those men and those women had problems. You don't think Rahab the harlot had some problems? Hello? But let me tell you what, she's in the hall of faith. Her and her scarlet cord. She said, I made a mess in my life, but let me tell you what, from this moment on, I'm choosing God. And she went on. And God used her. What kind of mess is your home in? What kind of marriage you got right now? Let me tell you what, stick with God. The benefits are better. Not only the benefits, I'm done. Not only the benefits, but can I tell you what, the battle's better. I'd rather fight today to stick in my relationship with God, then find out what it is to get outside here and fight the battles of this world and not have God to help me. And listen to me, not just God to help me, but you to help me. Church, we need each other. Let me tell you what independent Baptist churches have become good at. Killing each other. Killing each other. And we need each other. And you know what? The battle that I have in life, I'd rather do it with you than against you. This is necessary. Look at my face this morning. Look right here. What's your price? What's yours? $600? Good time on Friday night? Being cool at the workplace? Walking out on your marriage, God forbid, walking out on our spouses, walking out on our children, it's better in here. Amen. Lord, I love you and I praise you. God, it downright scares me to preach a message like this because I don't want to know my price, God. It's not false humility. You know my heart. God, I love you so much. God, may I never sell out the Garner home. God, may I never sell out the youth group at New Manna Baptist Church, my pastor, Lord. Oh, God, but may I never, ever, God, more important than anything, God, may I not sell you out. And I love you and I praise you. Church, this morning, Jesse's not up here. I'm not going to ask him to come. If you need to come pray, you come pray. And here's what I encourage you is, listen to me. I encourage you to come. I think at a minimum, you need to come to this altar and you need to say this. God, may I never find my price. Amen. God, may I never, you say there's not a piano playing. Church, I encourage you, listen to me. Come this morning and say, God, may I never, teenagers, you have a lot of years ahead. You have a lot of years ahead. May you come to this altar this morning and I want you to come now. God, may I never find my price. May I never know what my price is. There's so many people today that if they were honest with you, they would say, my price was friends. My price was another relationship, a side relationship on my marriage. My price was discouragement. I just got mad at God. I just got upset at God. God had taken so much. Hey, listen to me this morning. I know you may feel like God has taken, but God is working, and God has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And stick with the Lord. This is better in this place. And I want you to understand, church, never find your price. You take your time on this altar, please. Pastor said we are good on time. If you're praying on this altar, you pray.